This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The government wants to give your car a letter grade.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Here in L.A., when you go to a restaurant, you see a letter grade in the window. It's from the health department. So if it's an A, go in, order a taco, no questions asked. If it's a C, maybe you keep driving. Well, the Obama administration wants to use that model for the sale of cars. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from the other coast, from New York, with more on this. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
So this is about fuel efficiency. What's the idea?
Well, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Transportation are proposing that car dealers be required to put a big letter grade label on vehicles in the showroom. So all electric cars, for instance, would get A's, A pluses, or A minuses, and cars that aren't so fuel efficient would get maybe a C or a D. And below the letter would be an amount of money that the consumer would save on gas over a five-year period if they were to buy that car.
Very interesting. And what's the reaction to that idea?
Well, one industry group released a statement that's really not too critical. It says basically that cars are complicated things and giving a passing or failing grade based on just one aspect doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I spoke with Peter Wells, who co-directs the Center for Automotive Industry Research at Cardiff University in the UK. He says it's a step in the right direction, but Americans might need more of a push than this to stop driving SUVs and start driving hybrids.
It's going to require some quite deep-seated cultural changes, I suspect, beyond mere efficiency messages or indeed mere economy messages. The American consumer buys vehicles in ways which are different to across us in Europe or others in Japan or elsewhere.
And, Bill, this is not a done deal yet. The EPA and the Transportation Department will have to go through a 60-day comment period to hear from the public on this proposal, but they do hope to have these grades on cars by 2012.
And you can see what those car stickers would look like at our website, marketplace.org. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
The U.S. government is borrowing a lot of money these days, and it's cheaper than ever for taxpayers. That's because the yields, that's the interest that investors get paid on government bonds, are at record lows. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tells us that could give the Obama administration time to continue deficit spending.
Even as the government has borrowed more to fund things like stimulus, unemployment benefits, wars, the cost of servicing the debt is down nearly 20%. That's because the Treasury is paying rock-bottom interest to investors who buy its bonds.
This is not good news.
At least not for the economy, says analyst Barry Bosworth at the Brookings Institution.
This is not some sort of approval of the administration's policy. It just tells you how bad the economic situation is, that there's nothing else for people to do with their money.
Stocks are doing lousy. Companies aren't borrowing. Everything seems risky, except U.S. treasuries, backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. But Bosworth says market sentiment could turn against soaring U.S. debt.
People could begin to doubt that you intend to repay it. And that's basically what happened in the case of Greece.
Deficit hawks want the administration to ratchet down spending now to convince investors we're not headed that way. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And which way are stock investors headed? Well, Japan's Nikkei index hasn't been this low in almost a year and a half. That index cratered 3.5% today. Asian stocks in general were down. European markets almost 1% lower. All of this follows yesterday's 140-point drop in the Dow. That's more than 1%. The Dow's close was 10,009.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Even if you're not a huge baseball fan, I recommend a trip to the Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field. It's in a residential neighborhood, and a bunch of the apartment buildings right next door have views down into the ballpark. So as a side business, the owners of these buildings will charge fans to watch the Cubs from their rooftops. Well, this year, reports Chicago's Tony Arnold, business has been a little tough.
Steve Alexander's with 3639 Wrigley Rooftop. It's one of about 20 buildings overlooking Wrigley Field.
We are now standing on the seventh level. This is what we consider our stadium seating. It's the highest point in the building.
Earlier this year, Alexander was charging about $200 per fan. He says his business is directly connected to how the Cubs perform.
We would be lying if we said it does not affect it. I think it affects it more coming down the home stretch.
The Cubs are nearly 20 games out of first place in their division and have little hope of making the playoffs, so the rooftops are just trying to bring in customers. Online, tickets are going for $150 less than they normally would. A losing season's nothing new for the Cubs, but this year's skid has run smack into the continued slump in the housing market. Alan Sanderson is a sports economist at the University of Chicago. He says the rooftops face more risk because of the nature of their business.
They're not immune from specific housing market conditions, nor are they immune from the fortunes or misfortunes of the Chicago Cubs.
One of the buildings is even going through foreclosure, and the bad economy is also scaring off corporate events that had been the backbone of the rooftop fan base. Sanderson says there is hope for the rooftops, though. The new owners of the Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts family, have invested in one of the buildings. He says that shows the team has faith that the rooftops will continue to bring in money. And it's a far cry from a few years ago, when the Cubs went so far as to put up giant windscreens to block the view of the field. That is, until the rooftop owners agreed to give the Cubs 17% of their earnings. Steve Alexander says there's no more bad blood, and he welcomes the Cubs owners into the neighborhood.
Cubs are going to be fine, the city's going to be fine, the rooftops will be fine. So, you know, it's just a little bump in the road, and everybody's going to make adjustments, and, you know, everybody just has to run their businesses a little closer to the vest.
Alexander says he'll take a hit for the rest of this season, but he's banking on the motto of Cubs fans, that things will be better next year. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
Things will be better next year. Don't we all wish that? By the way, the Chicago White Sox have a brand new star today. Manny Ramirez just came over from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who learned a financial lesson. The Dodgers had picked up Ramirez in part because his salary was being paid by the Boston Red Sox. So L.A. was essentially getting Manny Ramirez for free. But then that season ended and there were new salary negotiations, and then Ramirez violated the league's drug policy. As the Los Angeles Times put it, free is never free. So remember that. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.